Privit, respected viewers. Anyway, there were some gladsome tidings for the Ukrainians the other day when it was announced that they're getting all these Leopard tanks. So there was this Belgian businessman, Freddy Versluis, forgive me if I've sliced up Versluis's surname, who bought them over 10 years ago from the Belgian government when they were rationalizing their army, as in reducing it, and had them in a warehouse for years. And for almost a year, they've been talking about buying them, and finally they've been purchased by a European Union member state. And he's forbidden from disclosing which one it is because of some sort of confidentiality clause in the contract. I suppose this EU country doesn't want vengeance exacted upon them by Russia, but you know, there are not many possibilities. Who is it is a major funder of Ukraine and is big enough and rich enough to do it? Germany, Poland, two fairly likely ones. France, not terribly generous. Italy, unlikely given the economic situation. Spain, no way, given almost nothing. Sweden, and you know, those are really the only possibilities. UK is not even in the European Union anymore. So about 49 tanks purchased, 12 of which will be cannibalized for spare parts, the others of which will be renovated and sent to the battlefront. But he said that they won't be battle worthy for 6 months in some cases. But nevertheless, it's a much needed fillip for the Ukrainians. But the Ukrainian counteroffensive carries on, but is not going terribly well for them. As I pointed out, they've gained sort of 16 kilometers in the two deepest points of penetration, one towards Mariupol and one around the Bakhmut area. But the Russians claim to have made some ground south of Kharkiv, and indeed that's true. And as I pointed out, the Ukrainians have got something like 150 kilometers to go before they reach the Sea of Azov. Even if they do, they could easily be pushed out. So I've never been a military man, as I very often underscore, but some Western military analysts have said that whilst the Russian army is woeful at attack, they're actually adept, skillful, and increasingly cunning on the defensive, and have just laid so many mines, triple the number of mines a NATO army would. Some NATO countries are even forbidden from using mines, and sometimes putting two mines because they know that some of the Ukrainian vehicles can withstand one mine blast, but they can't withstand two. So the anti-tank ditches, the barbed wire, the machine gun nest with interlocking fields of fire, as in you can be fired at from two directions at the same time, or even if you take out one of those machine gun nests, that the other one could get you. So, okay, you might take out two, but that's going to be difficult, pretty unlikely. And so there's really slow going to get through all this. And the Russians will sometimes deliberately concede one line of defense, get the Ukrainians in there, and that'll slow them down, trying to clear the mines, and then they'll be hit with artillery. They know exactly where the Ukrainians are. They deliberately leave some weak points, the Russians, to try and funnel the enemy through there. And they'll be pummeled by artillery, but they'll be subject to counterattack. So they're finding this very difficult, the Ukrainians. But nevertheless, Russia's got major problems itself. They took about 1,500 tanks out of an open-air depot in Siberia very recently, T-62s, in some cases T-54s. The number is indicative of the year that tank was designed. Some of these tanks are from a 1954 design. Doesn't mean they're all manufactured in 1954. They continued building those ones till the early 60s, till the next generation came the T-62s. And now, I don't know much about tanks, but you know, apparently they're not that dreadful. Yes, that gun would still kill you, and it can still move. It can still contain soldiers, but it's obviously just not that fast. It can't go over some of the very steep hills. I don't think it can go through water, things like that. It doesn't have good night sights or communications. Its armor is vulnerable to the more modern weapons and so on. And are they even in a worthy condition? Because they just weren't looked after. They need to be maintained and oiled and all the rest of it. They need spare parts, and they're just not making those parts anymore. So there are about another 1,500 other military vehicles, like infantry fighting vehicles, armored personnel carriers, and just trucks they were getting as well. And it's thought the Russians are pleading with their allies, the North Koreans, to help them out, sell them some equipment, because North Korea is a major purchaser of Soviet era equipment, and that's obviously compatible with the Russian equipment. They can use this shell for that artillery piece and so on. Now, and then the other one is the People's Democratic Republic of Korea, as in North Korea, seems to be helping them out by all this war talk. Okay, sacking the head of the army, saying they're going to be ready for war and so on, to spook South Korea in case the South Koreans were mulling over sending some shells to the Ukrainians, or their black, what's it called, Black Tiger tanks, the excellent South Korean tanks. but the majority of South Koreans are against it. I think they're not going to do it because about 55% of South Koreans are against, only about 40% in favor. And there's an election coming up, so the ruling party doesn't want to clear the pitch for that one. It's a diversion for the United States and other countries say, we can't do this. And incidentally, when that American soldier defected to North Korea a fortnight ago, and then there was some statement by the UN forces in South Korea, the Republic of Korea, assuming it would be an American because the US military is there. It was a Brit, because obviously the British Army fought there in the Korean War in 1950-53. And it was the UK's bloodiest conflict since the Second World War, but it's largely forgotten. So on to Ukraine. So though they're not great ground is being made by the Ukrainians, of course, there could be some sort of breakthrough. But even they got to the Sea of Azov, they've then got to hold it at the Sea of Azov and not be pushed out by the Russians. As I said before, I just don't see it happening. What is changing, the recent development, is more and more drone strikes. The 3rd of May one was considered astounding. It's now becoming routine. It's happening a couple of times a week. The Russian capital is 450 kilometers from the Ukrainian border. There was some conjecture that maybe Ukrainians inside Russia who are doing this, or Russian dissidents or anti-Putin were doing it, thinking it would help bring down the Putin fascist regime, but probably not, because they've not caught anyone doing that. They've not accused anyone inside Russia of doing it, or found any evidence that Ukrainian special forces are there. So it seems they do have range, and they are actually quite accurate. They managed to hit the same building twice, on a Sunday, then on a Tuesday. So it wasn't just random, that place in Moscow City, the financial district, they did it. But then the other thing is, early this morning, an optics factory 70 kilometers north of Moscow blew up. Now, was it an accident? Just possibly. But this optics factory, it supplies binoculars and night sights to the Russian army. So it was a military target. At least one person was killed. Dozens of people have been wounded. It's thought that some are still buried under the rubble and may not be able to get to them for 24 hours. It was right beside an explosives warehouse. Did the warehouse get blown up and that caused the factory to blow up? It's, at the moment, it's unclear. So was that Ukrainian special forces operation? I don't know. It could just be an accident. Accidents happen at wartime as well. But I think it unlikely. I think what a coincidence that is. It's more likely the Ukrainians had something to do with it. Of course, Ukraine's standard practice is not to claim these things, nor to deny them, to comment on them. The implicature of some of Zelensky's statements has been really taking credit for it, saying that we're bringing the war to Russia. They're showing them they're going to pay a very heavy price. They do this all the time to us. The difference is we never attack civilian targets, but they do routinely, like that blood transfusion center the other day. Now, when Russia hits civilian targets, it could be out of sheer malice, or it could be just cock-up rather than conspiracy, because their weapons are not terribly accurate. And they don't really care. You might say, but the blood transfusion center is giving blood transfusions to soldiers who then come back and kill us. And all right, that is true. But, according to that rationale, you could attack any civilian healthcare facilities because it will sometimes treat soldiers. So, the fighting is grinding on. But, the Ukrainians, they're getting more and more drones. Remember, it was one drone strike first, 3rd of May. The other day, there was a claim that there were 8 Ukrainian drones struck Moscow. That might be an exaggeration. And, many drones striking Crimea, up to 20 in one wave. And the Russians always saying they're bringing them down. Now, admittedly, the Ukrainian drones over Moscow are doing minimal damage. They have at least closed Vnukovo Airport sometimes, while Turkmenistan Airlines said they're going to stop flying there. Now, they might change their mind quite soon. I don't think they will, actually, because these drone strikes are only becoming more frequent and more accurate. And there are 4 major civilian airports in Moscow. So if the drones just only need to go near the airport to close them all down. And I would guess towards the end of August, people about to come back for the start of school term at the 1st of September, there might be a lot more Ukrainian drones around these Moscow airports. And then that would be a nightmare for Russian air traffic control, having to reroute all these planes very fast, scramble them. But the risk from the Ukrainian point of view, if that causes a plane to crash because it bumps into a drone, or they just can't find a landing slot for it, that could be 300 civilians dead. And some of those would be from neutral countries. So that would look really bad for the Ukrainians, but the Russians might want it that way and accuse the Ukrainians of air piracy, the Ukrainians of deliberately killing foreign civilians. But Moscow, even though it's only got 10% of the Russian population, it's got about 40% of the air traffic. But the advantage about causing chaos for Moscow air traffic, for Ukraine, civilian air traffic, is then some airlines from neutral countries, Turkish airlines in particular, some of the airlines from India and China say, we're just not going to fly to Moscow in particular, maybe not to Russia in general, because it's too risky. If one of our planes crashes, that's hundreds of passengers dead. The aircraft itself could easily be worth $100 million. It's huge reputational damage. And then that leaves Russia even more isolated, is more of a pain in the neck. And amazingly, Aeroflot is still going. A lot of their aircraft not airworthy. A lot of their equipment isn't working because these are mostly bought or leased from Boeing and Airbus, and they can't buy spare parts, and they can't have them serviced because of sanctions. So it's a minor miracle there hasn't been a crash. It's just an accident waiting to happen. They've been lying and certifying these things as ready for takeoff when they're not. But it's a matter of time. Eventually, it's going to happen, sadly. But it's all avoidable. It's all the fault of one man, Vladimir Vladimirovich Putin, who started this war of unprovoked and illegal aggression. If he didn't do that, there would need to be no sanctions. They could be lifted today. Right. Thank you so much for watching my channel. So please donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com, because I really need donations to keep this going. These glasses were expensive. I might as well wear them occasionally as I bought them. Right. Toodaloo.